Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Hey, I'm so excited about what God has. How many are filled with expectation for what God's going to do? I really hope you are filled with expectation. And I actually meant that. If you're here tonight and you're not registered, do me a huge favor and get registered. You're not going to want to miss a single one of these sessions, because I believe that God's got something for you to take away from every single one of them that's going to be transformational to your life. You know, there are moments in time when God just sets time aside. And I believe that they are moments where God ordains things that drop into your heart. And you know, it's amazing. You get into an atmosphere like this, it doesn't always unlock and even unload in the moment. You know, sometimes 6 months from now, your life is changing because of what you received in an atmosphere like this. And I believe each and every service, each and every session is going to be loaded with the presence and the power of God that is more than able to do what you need done in your life. How many know anything we need done, God can do it? How many know God works in Hawaii, God works in Alaska, God works in Idaho, but he works in your life. He works in your marriage. He works in your home. And I believe that God has something for you tonight. So excited to be with you. I also send love from my two boys, Jeremiah and Jabin. And they were bitter at me that I did not bring them with me for this power conference. But they love you and love Alaska. And it is just such a privilege to be here with you. I want to jump right in. I want to first just share right off the top just a few of the things that I believe God's put on my heart that are going to mark your life and mark the church. And how many just say I have an open heart to what God wants to release into my life? You want to make sure that you come in with an open heart. You know, the prophetic is like anything else you receive from God. You receive it by faith. And having your walls up and having a crusty heart and having a skeptic spirit is going to prohibit that which God wants to do in your life. And can I just encourage you? Let's be filled with faith as we head into this power conference, believing God for great things, because I believe this is a year of destiny for you. I believe it's a year where God is going to seismically shift things in our nation, but he's going to seismically shift things in your life. And as I was praying about this conference, there were two very strong things that I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart for you. And the first thing I heard from the Lord is this: tell them this is a time of release, where I am releasing to them faith to move mountains for this church corporately and for its members individually. I heard the Lord say, what has refused to move in your life and in this church will move in this season. That this is a season of divine movement. Jesus spoke of mountains moving. There is a realm of faith that moves mountains. And Jesus said it is a realm of faith that is accessible to each and every person. As a matter of fact, Jesus said properly stewarded faith, even as small as a mustard seed, can move mountains. And I heard the Lord say, what has refused to move in your life is going to move in this season. That shackles will be broken that have held lives hostage. That addictions will be broken that have held people in bondage. That debts will be canceled that have held momentum back in your life, in the church, and destiny will be released. That miracles will be released that have been held up in heaven. I saw like a warfare, like the angel that was held up when Daniel fasted and prayed. I felt like a warfare that has held up miracles in your life and in this church. And I saw in this season the heavens open, and I saw a release of divine, miraculous things being dropped into this church and into your life. That which you've been waiting for shall come in this season. And I heard the Lord say, don't you give up. I'm getting ready to release the miracle that you need. That the heavens will give way to the miracle. That the earth shall bear its fruit for you. That the earth will yield and the heavens will open, and you shall receive. No mountain will stand in front of you. You shall walk in what God has. You shall see the blessing of God. You shall see miracles come. You shall see supernatural debts canceled. You shall see the addiction broken. This is the time of God's favor for your life and for this church. If you believe it and receive it, shout amen. It's a year that mountains move. It's a year that mountains move. I believe the Lord is doing that in your life. I want to talk to you tonight about a very unique word the Lord's dropped in my heart in this last couple of weeks. And I want to talk to you tonight about what is necessary for you to experience. I believe that God is revisiting our nation with the fundamental things once again, that he's bringing us back to a early church model hunger and outpouring, that God is shifting things and bringing our nation back into a place that the will of God might be done in our generation once again. I believe that God is so kind. I believe he's turned his face to us once again. I believe we'll see another generation rise, and the greatest day of the church is not in our rearview mirror. How many would believe it's in the future in Jesus' name? That it's in the future. But there are some things that God wants to revisit. One of the things I felt like the Lord shared with me is this: I want to revisit my church the way that I did in times of old. Because God is a God of new, but he's not a God that changes. So how many realizes that can feel like a dichotomy if you don't understand the way God works? He doesn't change, but he does things new. And so many times God will revisit a generation with the fundamental things once again to remind us, not to do something he's never done, but to remind us of the way he operates and moves. And tonight I want to talk to you about what is fundamental, but what is transformational. That if we do not experience each of these and in greater measure, we will not see that which God wants to do in our nation come to pass. I want to talk to you tonight about the three baptisms of the believer. The three baptisms of the believer. Not one, not two, come on, but three. Somebody say Trace up in this house. All right. I want to talk to you tonight about the three baptisms of the believer. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to read verses 1 through 3 together. I believe the Lord has something very special for us tonight. It's going to set the stage, set the tone for all of which he has for us over the next few days. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, we'll read together. How many love the word of the Lord here? Just don't forget, some of us, listen, we came for a word, and I hope you're ready for a word, but don't forget he's given us his word. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 says, "So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead." Somebody say, go on. "Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God." Listen to the writer. He's saying, surely we don't have to revisit this reality that we need to repent or turn from our evil way of living, a way that does not glorify or honor God or lead to the path that God has for us, and placing our faith in God. Now listen to verse 2. He says, "You don't need further instructions," and he lays out what have become four pillars of doctrine for the early church. And he starts with something very interesting. He says, we don't need further instruction about baptisms. Baptisms in the plural. Not in the singular, but in the plural. The laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward into future understanding. We don't need further instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. I want to talk to you about the three baptisms of the believer tonight. Would you lift your hands to heaven? I just want to pray for a release of faith in your life, that God would open up our hearts and our lives to a fresh baptism, Father, we love you so very much. And we thank you right now, great God, that you've ordained these next few days. You set them apart in the annals of history. God, to be a day of impartation, of heaven opening up over each and every one of us. So I pray now, even for a gift of faith to be released into the room today. Open up our hearts, open up our lives. I pray, great God, that you would transform the lives of each and every person here. I thank you, God, that your heart is not to visit, but it is to dominate, to transform, to take over, to transform us into that which you see us being. And so I pray that we came in one way, but God, we would leave transformed tonight in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Come on, everybody said, amen, amen. You know, it's interesting to me, I see things like Hebrews chapter 6, and the writer, it's almost something that we can be offended by. Like, the writer's like, hey, listen, y'all immature. Y'all immature. He's like, listen, I don't think we need to revisit this again. You can feel the pastor heart in the Bible coming through sometimes, like, just the frustration. Is it okay to just be honest in the house? Like, even Jesus was like that sometimes. Even Jesus sometimes was like, how much longer do I have to bear with all of you idiots? Okay, he didn't say idiots, I'm sorry. But I could feel it in his tone. You read your Bible the way you want to read your Bible. I'll read my Bible the way I want to. Okay, but I can feel it sometimes. And I can feel the writer here talking about this. Like, he's like, listen, we need to move on, but there's some fundamental things that I'm wishing and I'm hoping we don't need to revisit. And I hear the Lord saying in this hour that if he's ever going to be able to move us forward, there's some things we need to not just know here, there's some things we need to be able to experience deep down in here. There's some things he needs to revisit once again to set the pillars up in our life, to lay a foundation for us that we might be able to move on into the things of God. And the very first thing that the author of Hebrews lays out, and how many know, when something is mentioned first, that's important. Everything in the scripture is intentional. This idea that the first thing the writer says is baptisms. This idea that we must experience not just one, but several baptisms in our life as believers. And I want to talk to you about these today because I believe it's something the Lord is going to cause to rise in this day, that we're going to see a revival of the baptisms happening in this age, especially in our nation. And so the first thing I want you to get in your heart tonight is this, that the three baptisms, and I'm going to tell you what they are, the work that God does, and then we're going to talk about how to experience them in our life. But the very first baptism is done by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. How many are thankful for the body of Christ? How many are thankful that you're no longer separate from God, but you've been united with him in Christ? And the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are Californians, some of us are Alaskans, some of us are Idahoans, some of us are slaves, some of us are free. Listen to what the Bible says. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. We all share the same Spirit. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the baptism that the Holy Spirit performs. Whether you realize it or not, as a born-again believer, you have been, the Greek word baptizo, you've been baptized into the body of Christ. That the Holy Spirit has done a work in you to submerge you, to bring you in to the body of Christ. You've been brought into Christ the moment that you believe. Now, the problem is as a believer, the magnificence of this can wear off. May we never lose the wonder of the fact that we've been baptized into the body of Christ, that we've been invited not to coexist, but to integrate into the body of Christ. Listen to Ephesians 4, 3 through 6. It says, make every effort to keep yourself united in spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Can I tell you, this will always be the battle. Make every effort to keep yourselves united. Kings Alaska, can I tell you, the greatest thing you could do is protect the unity of God in this church. That beware that the devil is a loser and he loves to divide the church. that we should make every effort to keep ourselves united in the Spirit, binding ourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you've all been called into one glorious hope for the future. Listen, there is one Lord, one faith, here it is, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. The baptism into Christ is the great unifier of every single believer. I don't care what church you're from. If you're from a different church, just know this. We're a part of the same family of God. If you worship the same Jesus I worship, we're a part of the same family. There is one Lord. There is one baptism. We've been brought into the same family of God. We are not divided. We are united in Jesus. We've been baptized into the same family, the same family. And what the interesting thing is we have whole denominations that have split over the baptism. We have whole denominations that are like, well, we sprinkle and we dab when we do this and we baptize them when they're babies. And some of us, I saw the Catholics in COVID were shooting babies with a squirt bottle from across the room. It was like, but we have whole denominations that have split off of their movement because, well, we baptize this way and we baptize this way and we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we baptize in the name of Jesus and we baptize. Can I tell you that the baptism that matters most is the baptism that happens the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost comes and brings you, submerges you. That Greek word baptizo, to bring all the way in, to bring all the way under the water. You've been brought all the way into Christ. Can I tell you, there's no halfway Christians. When you get saved, baby, God does it all. He covers all your sin. He covers all your shame. He covers all your past. He brings you all the way in to the body of Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful that I'm not far away, but I've been brought near to Jesus because of what he has done for me, that because he died and he was buried and he rose again, there's power in the resurrection of Jesus. There's power in the resurrection. But that same Spirit brings me into the body of Christ. Now we are no longer separate. Let this sink in for a second when the Apostle Paul writes, I am convinced that nothing can separate me from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus. Why did Paul say nothing? Because you can't separate what's been integrated in. Jesus said it this way, whom the Father has placed in my hands, ain't nobody, no devil, no bondage, no curse, no witch, no witchcraft. Nothing can take out of the hands of Christ what's been brought into him. Can I tell you, you've been more than tolerated. You've been more than forgiven. You've been baptized, dunked all the way, brought all the way into the body of Christ. No longer separate, but one. No longer divided, but united. And the power of the church is in her unity. Can I just prophesy something? This will be a season of supernatural unity among the churches of Wasilla and Anchorage and Palmer and Eagle River. This is a season where God is doing something so strategic that no one church can pull it off. We're entering a day when it won't matter if you are baptized, sprinkled, spit at, whatever. If you are in Christ, we need to work together to see the mission of God go forward. If you believe it, shout amen. May the denominational walls fall. May the theological pride fall. And may we unite around one thing and one thing only. Who are we in? It's Christ. How many would shout amen? We're in Christ. We are in him. We are baptized into him at salvation. I love Ephesians 2:13, but now you have been brought close. Nope. You've been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away, but now you've been brought near to him through the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, the baptism of blood is powerful. You've been brought in. The blood of Jesus has been shed. And the moment you put your faith in Jesus, the Holy Ghost brings you all the way in to Christ. One of the fundamental things the devil will try to get in you is that you are tolerated instead of united with Christ. That you are close but not in. That you are near but not here. That you are close but not rooted and planted. The New Testament doesn't give us that picture at all. It says that your roots would grow down deep into the love of God and make you strong. It shows us this picture of being in Christ. Jesus said, if you remain in me and I will remain in you. It's this picture of the vine and the branches, not separate, but united, brought together as one living thing. And what is in Christ has all that he has. The riches and the treasure and the power of Jesus. Do you understand what is yours? Because you have been baptized into the body of Christ. The anointing that is available to you. The power that is available to you. Because you're not just close, you are in him. I remember I was 18 years old, strung out on drugs, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And it was hard to explain. Anybody remember the day Jesus saved you? Come on. It's hard to explain what happens, but you don't have to wonder if it happened. Hello? Well, I think I'm saved. You better know. You better know. You better work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Like, I don't wonder if I got saved. I remember when Jesus broke the weight of sin and shame off my life. Something happened where I was separate and lost in darkness, and something happened that I got brought into Christ. No longer far away, no longer in a kingdom of darkness, but now brought into Christ and a new kingdom, where now I was once in darkness, but now in light. And if you don't understand the fact that you are in him, that every spiritual blessing is yours in Christ Jesus. Come on, not. It doesn't say every spiritual blessing is yours next to Christ Jesus. To those who are in him, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is made available to you because of who you are in. You are in Christ. And we can't fall short of the glorious inheritance we have in God. Because we are in him. We've been baptized in him. We've been brought in, an irrevocable thing, brought into Jesus, never to be the same. Never to be the same. Second baptism is so vital. And I believe there is a revival of this happening in our nation right now that will wash from the West Coast to the East Coast, from Alaska to Hawaii. We will see a move of God's Spirit in this particular baptism, and it's the second baptism. It is the baptism of water. The baptism of water. In this baptism, the disciples baptize us in water. The first is a pure work of God, where the Holy Ghost baptizes you into the body of Jesus. But this is a baptism where it is a natural act that produces supernatural results. There are certain things that you can do, that anyone can do. How many know you can choose to be baptized in water no matter what it is? Doesn't matter if the worship team hits the chord just right. Doesn't matter if your pastor preaches just right. You don't have to have goosebumps. There are certain things. Can I tell you, your patterns prophesy. We all want a word, but can I tell you, I stopped listening to what people say years ago and started watching what people do. I'm not looking for potential. Show me patterns. Your patterns prophesy. When you are obedient to God, I can show you your future. When you line your life up with the word of God, I can tell you where you're going. I can tell you that if you'll follow the plan of God for your life, that he shall not fail you. That the word of God won't fail you. The plan of God won't fail you. I don't do what I do and am where I am today. If you had any idea who I was, it has nothing to do. It has everything to do with the fact that I stood my life upon the word and the will of God, and he will not fail. He hasn't failed me. He will not fail you because you are in him. When you choose to align your life with him, his word will not fail. His power shall not fail. His blessing will not fail. All the days of your life, goodness and mercy shall follow after you. If you believe it, shout amen. So the baptism of water is the baptism of choice, where we now choose this natural act that produces supernatural results. It's interesting because in Matthew 28:19, Jesus gives us the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This is the Great Commission. Every church should have a vision, but how many know every church vision should kind of line up with the big vision that Jesus gave us? How many love that you're a part of a Great Commission church that's literally going into all the world and doing exactly what Jesus said? This is so powerful. But this baptism should happen very shortly after salvation. The biblical pattern is you are brought into Christ and then you are brought into water by men. This is not a ritual, but a powerful spiritual act that impacts your walk with God. It is a, let me say it this way, a prophetic action that produces supernatural results in your life. It is here that we identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. It is a power act. It is here that the old life is cut off and we are raised in new life. Do you know the New Testament points all the way back to the Old Testament several times? And as it points back, it ties the old, there's some actions of God that the New Testament authors give us revelation insight into what baptism for a believer today looks like under the old covenant. And they're probably not the things you would think. But look at the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 10:2. And he says this, he says, in the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. In the cloud in the Red Sea. We know the Israelite people were a shadow or a type of the body of Christ. We know that Moses was a picture of a deliverer, a Jesus, a Messiah, if you would, that would deliver his people out of bondage. And these people were brought through the Red Sea. Now, you know the Bible story. I don't care if you don't even love Jesus today, you know the Bible story. But what's interesting, the cloud and the sea, well, what happened in the sea? What happened in the sea? Israel is delivered out. They are delivered, they are set free, their Savior comes to deliver them, but all of their enemies are still behind them. And they get to the sea and God speaks to Mo and says, Mo, lift up your staff. Boom, the sea parts. And the people of God start walking on dry ground. But behind them, here are their enemies. The Egyptian people representing the sin and demonic rule and power that's so very real today. The Egyptians might have died, but the devil is still very much alive. And the work of the enemy is still very much real. But what happened in the Red Sea? In the Red Sea, God caused the waters to collapse and kill off every enemy that was following after the children of Israel. It was in the sea that what held them bondage actually died. It was in the sea that the waters collapsed and killed all of that which had let them go at first, but then decided to go take them back. Can I tell you that still happens today? The devils let people go, but they come back and try to get you again. That enemies will release us once, but I'll tell you, it's not a different devil that tries to come and get you 10 years later. It's not a different spirit that tries to pull you back in 3 months later. No, it is the same enemy that at first said, go and worship your God, now says, I changed my mind, let's bring him back into bondage. And it was their baptism into the sea that killed all of their enemies and permanently cut off the attack of the enemy in their lives. Do you know there's another picture in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 21, and the Apostle Peter gives us another picture. He says, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered a physical death, but was raised to life in the Spirit. So he went and preached to the spirits in prison, those who obeyed God long ago when God waited patiently, here it is, while Noah was building his boat. Only 8 people were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. Listen to verse 21. And that water is a picture of baptism, which now saves you, not by removing dirt from your body, but as a response to God from a clean conscience. Here it is. It is effective because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, listen, the picture of these old judgments that came, what did God do with the flood? He took out everything that was evil, everything that was defiled, everything that was not of him. The flood wiped out, and God preserved that which was of him. Unrighteousness was destroyed, and righteousness was preserved. And according to the Apostle Peter, and that water is a picture of baptism. It is a picture of what God does in your life when you choose to follow him in that prophetic act of baptism. There are things that die. If you believed on Christ, but you struggle to leave the old life behind, can I tell you? It's so funny. I'll talk to Christians all the time. Pastor, you know, I've been coming to the church and God's really touched my heart and touched my life. But you know what? I'm still struggling with tormenting thoughts. I just can't get off the pipe. I just can't get off the bottle. I just can't get off this. My first question I always ask is this: have you been baptized? And 9 times out of 10, they're like, well, you know, when I was a baby, I got sprinkled with water. And, you know, I think my auntie brought me in, a priest, you know, gave me one of the dabble do yas when I was a baby. I say, no. Have you been baptized in water? Not because your grandmama brought you to the Catholic Church when you were little. Not because your Lutheran pastor hit you at age 3. But because God has done a redemptive work in your life. Has your faith moved you into the act of baptism? Because it is in the water that the devils that have been after you your whole life, that the devil that was after your grandpa and your dad and you, if the torment, the latch thing that's on you, that thing you cannot shake, it's in the water that dies. It's in the water that ends. That's where that dies. Well, you know, and they get baptized and things begin to break. Listen, and not just baptized, but baptized out of faith in Jesus Christ. I had a young man. We've been seeing an extraordinary amount of people. Thousands and thousands of people get saved in our church. And droves of people being baptized. We baptized 75 people in water last week. And 22 of them were spontaneous in a service. People just got up and bum rushed the supply closet and got baptized in the service. I mean, it was crazy. But I remember about, I don't know, maybe a year ago, we were baptizing people. There's a move of God happening. Power of God is moving. And dozens of people are being baptized in water. And hundreds of our church people are gathered around them. And we're celebrating, and we're baptized. And now I've got people that are supposed to be talking to them ahead of time. Right? Like, have you been saved? And did you believe in Jesus? And did you ask him to forgive your sin? And is he the Lord of your life? You know, the basics. Repenting of your evil deeds and putting your faith in God. But I remember that this young man got in the water. And we're outside, hundreds of people around, and it's just one of those old troughs, you know, the ones you feed your cow during the week, and then you come and do holy business on Sunday, one of those. And this man puts his feet in the water, and the Holy Ghost stops me right here. He goes, this young man believes in me, but he has not surrendered everything yet. He's not really ready to lay it all down that it might die in the water. And I stopped him, and I said, hey, I think his name was Jacob. And I said, Jacob, have you really surrendered your life to Jesus? Oh, yeah. I prayed the prayer in that service. God's touched my life. I believe in Jesus. And I said, no. Have you really laid it all down? Because God showed me there's something that you haven't let go of yet. And he said, well, I'm in a homosexual lifestyle right now. And I'm living with another man. And I said, well, you know, God can set you free from that. There's nothing you've done, nothing you're in, nothing you've, but you've got to be willing to let it die. And he said, yeah, tears, yeah. And I said, I want you to pray out loud and I want you to renounce that lifestyle. And we're going to do business with God. And he did. And you know that young man? He is the photographer for the Boise State basketball team. He is a born-again Christian. He's living a righteous life. He serves at one of our locations on the photography and media team, serving God today. But something broke off of his life in that moment. Everybody wants the resurrection life of Jesus, but they don't want the death. You want to live, but you don't want to die. But can I tell you, in Christ, nothing lives supernaturally unless it dies first. There was a crucifixion before there was a resurrection. The power of God is in the crucifixion as much as the resurrection. There must be a death we die before there is a life we live. And one of the problems we have in our nation right now is there's too many people with resurrection power that don't have crucifixion lifestyle. And so we've got power flowing through us without death that is anchoring us. And we want the power that raises the dead to life without ever letting go of our old life. We want to live, but we don't want to die. Can I tell you, the call of Jesus is die first, live the life I've called you to live second. We don't come halfway. We come laying it down before Jesus. We let it all die. We release it all to him. There is a crucifixion, and then there is a resurrection. Can I tell you, Christianity without a crucifixion will never yield the power you are looking for. We first have to die, and then we can live. There are people here today, God's showing me right now, there are many of you here today, and you wonder why the power of God has escaped you in your Christian life. Why you just can't seem to harness the power that other people have. You can't seem to rise into the newness of life. Friends, it's because you have to die first. Jesus said, unless it dies and falls, it cannot be raised in multiplication power. There is something that happens when you die that you can live the life that God's called you to. We've got to be willing to die the death of Christ so that we can live the resurrection power of Christ. We all want the life of God, but the reality is many of us need the death as well. And what the Lord has shown me is there will be a revival of baptism across this nation. That there's going to be every great move of God, if you study it, they were saved, they were baptized, and the power of heaven began to work through them. It's not because they checked off some kind of religious box. Well, you know, accepted the Lord and Peter's altar call. You know, better get in the water. No, it was a dying to their old life. It was, I don't care what people say, and I don't care what people think, and I don't care what people say about me. You've got to die to so many, not just your sin, but to the opinions of people. You've got to not care what they say. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. You'll never live in the power of God if you don't die to the opinions of men, if you don't die to the pressures of the world, if you don't die. Listen, well, we can't say that all. Who said you can't say that? Jesus said, preach the gospel. Go into all the world. Well, you can't talk about sin. Who said you can't talk about sin? Well, you can't talk about dying. Who said you can't? That's a word from the devil, not a word from God. You've got to let go of the pressures of the world that try to keep you from the power of God. The life you're looking for is on the other side of a death. There's a supernatural. I remember when I came to Jesus, there was so many things in my life, and I had to let them all go. And you would think that living the raggedy life that I lived, that landed me in the place of death, that landed me, you would have thought it would have been easy. And yet there's something inside of the hearts of men that want to hold on to what we have, even if it has no life or power. Can I tell you, what will cost you the power of God is your old stuff. And there's something about saying, God, I let it go. I lay it down. I crucify. Jesus said, lest you pick up your cross and follow me. There's something about laying down your life where you find it. Listen, I am living proof that if you give anything to God, he will give you something better. There's nothing I have ever crucified my life to that Jesus has not replaced 100-fold in my life. There is nothing, when I've given him my money, he's given me more back. When I've given him my reputation, He gave me a good name. When I gave him my family, he gave me a righteous bloodline. When I gave him my addiction, he gave me freedom. When I gave him my weakness, he gave me his power. And I'm here to tell you, anything you lay down, Jesus will return back to you in resurrection life. And yet there's something that causes us to hold on when God's saying, let it go. Can I tell you, nothing you give God, he won't bring back in greater measure. We will see it. Mark my words. We will see an emphasis on baptism in this nation like never before. As the old, and can I tell you, there are going to be believers that are baptized into the body of Christ and baptized into water in droves that are going to experience a cutting off of the old life. You know, there's an interesting scripture where the apostles visited a church and they said, hey, what baptism did you get? And they said, well, we got the baptism of John. And this interesting thing happened because they said this. They said, oh, that was a baptism of old works under repentance. But have you been baptized into Christ? They said, no, we only had John's baptism. So they re-baptized them in the name of Jesus. And then they laid hands on them and the power of God touched their life. Can I tell you, not all baptisms are made the same. Well, I was baptized as a Mormon, not the same as a Christian. Well, I was baptized as a Catholic, not the same as a Christian. Well, I was baptized as a Lutheran, not the same as a Christian. Why? Because of the heart behind it, the faith of Christ that motivates you, that God has done something in me. Now I'm following him into the sea, that what was on me might die, that I might live to him forever. And you will see people that love God, but have had things that followed them all of the days of their life, that get baptized and transformed, that will be part of the last day move of God. We're going to see it. We're going to see it. In Jesus' name, we're going to see it. The final baptism, and I need to move. The final baptism that I want to talk to you about tonight is the baptism of fire. It's the baptism of fire. And it is a baptism that Jesus himself personally performs. And I want you to write this down. Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Ghost. This is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is the baptism in and with the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:11. John the Baptist said, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming who is greater than I am. So much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave or carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. With the Holy Spirit and with fire. Not only are these different theologically, they are different grammatically. They are different contextually. They are different intentionally. This idea that Jesus wants to immerse us, completely fill us, to overflow with the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know in this church, in this conference, I'm preaching to the choir here. But the reality is, I believe God wants to remind us new and fresh that this baptism of power is promised to all believers that would pursue it, and it's not limited to one time. It's important to know that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is mentioned in every single gospel. Luke chapter 3, John chapter 1, Matthew chapter 3, John chapter 1, every one of them say, the one whom you see the Spirit rest on is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. This is unique because up until this moment, the Holy Spirit had only come and left. He'd never come to stay. He'd never come to stay. He came, did a job, and left, but not with Jesus. But not with Jesus. With Jesus, he came and stayed. It stayed. So this was an important thing for them to recognize. And this happened, by the way, where did the Spirit come upon Christ? In the waters of baptism. It was as Jesus was being baptized, not for the same reason you and I are, but Jesus said it this way. John's like, Jay, I can't do this, bro. Like, you need to baptize me. He goes, no, it must be for righteousness' sake. They must see the way to life in me. And it was in the water where the spirit of power came upon Jesus. And from that moment, the miraculous works of God begin to break out of his life. There's a heresy floating around that Jesus was as human as me or you until he was baptized in the Spirit. Not true. Heresy. Jesus was as human as any person who doesn't have an earthly father could be. Jesus surrendered his privileges, not his nature. The privilege of power was surrendered until the water of baptism, he received it back. How much more do we need to be anointed with the Holy Spirit if Jesus needed to be? Matter of fact, Jesus tells us as much in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. I told you before, John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, Peter said the same thing in Acts chapter 2. When he actually talks about all three baptisms in one verse. Peter's words pierced their heart, and he said to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God, one, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, two, and you will receive the gift or the power of the Holy Ghost, three. All three baptisms are right there. Many have taught that this was only for the 120 in the upper room. Not true. Look at the next verse, Acts 2:39. This promise is to you, your children, and those who are far away, and all who have been called by the Lord our God. It's to you. It's to your children. It's to any and all who would call on the Lord God. And what I need you to understand is God is revisiting our nation once again with fundamentals because I think we've lost our understanding of the transformative power of them. See, when you are baptized into the body of Christ, you are not the same. Well, I don't know if I'm saved. You'll know if you're saved. You will not wonder. I talk to people, well, I'm just not sure. Then you're probably not saved. Because you'll know, as clear as I knew I was separate from God, I'm now united with him. I know I am in Christ. No devil can convince me otherwise. No one can shake that faith. No nerd making theology videos in his mama's basement is going to convince me any different because I don't know it here. I know it here. I've been grafted in. I know I'm in Christ as much as I know I was baptized in water. I remember the day I was baptized in water, by the way. You know, I've been a part of one church my whole Christian life. I got saved in a prison cell when I was 18 years old. I was going to prison for trafficking meth. I was a drug addict, drug dealer, and my grandmama had been praying for me. How many are thankful for grandmamas? My grandmama had been praying for me. I got into a jail cell, and I was visited by an angel. I thought I was tripping. I was visited by an angel. This guy defended me against a demon-possessed wacko in a drunk tank. That spoke some things over me that lacerated my soul in a way I did not understand at the time, but I know now it was a curse, a word curse this guy was speaking over my life. This drunk guy got up out of a coma in the corner, and he looked right at me, and he said, hey, you'll always be the way that you are. And something happened. It broke inside of me because I'd been fighting addiction since I was 13 years old. And I thought, you know what? Here I am going to prison. I am going to be this way. And a lightly, this tall, light-complected man that I'd not seen before stood up in the back and spoke to this man and said, silence! And he silenced it. And he spoke things over me that brought healing to my heart. And the police came in, tore the drunk man out, and I turned around to thank the other guy, and he was gone. He was gone. But I'm telling you, somebody came and shared Jesus with me right after that. And I was into witchcraft and the occult and all kinds of crazy stuff, drugs and all this stuff. But I'll never forget when this guy came and I said, listen, I think this God you're talking about has done something. And I got saved. I got brought into Christ. But can I tell you, there were things that followed me every day. Things I couldn't shake. I would have nightmares, torments. Things that would try to constantly pull me back. People making booze in the toilet. And somehow I want some of that. And I remember I got into a great church like this one. And a spiritual father took me under his wings. His name's Monty Sears. Still to this day, I have the privilege to serve God with that man of God. And he told me, he said, you know what? You need to be baptized. You've given your life to Jesus. You need to be baptized. I will never forget the day I followed Jesus into the waters of baptism. I put my only nice shirt on. By the way, it was a Hawaiian shirt with bamboo button-ups. And my wife got baptized in a Nirvana t-shirt. We didn't know. No, I didn't know. I was like, well, this is the best we got. It was her favorite band. But I'll tell you what, when I came up out of that water, I didn't just check a religious box. When I came up out of that water, something was different in my life. God had supernaturally broke some things off of me, and things that followed me stopped following me. Things that tormented me stopped tormenting me. There was power in that prophetic act that did something that released some faith in me. But I'll never forget that I still knew. God began to call me and people began to see some of you, the gift of God hasn't come out of you because you haven't put down roots in a church yet. The transient spirit that's hitting the body of Christ today is limiting the flow of God's potential and power to more Christians than anything else. It is those that are planted in the house of God that flourish before their God. And I got planted, all 6'8". I was so skinny, I looked like a skeleton dipped in white chocolate. But I began to serve God, and people said, hey, there's leadership. There's leadership on you. There's something inside of you. There's a gift in you. There's something in you. And somebody said, hey, you're called to preach. You're called to preach. And I remember I grabbed this paper and I started shaking like a leaf. I just couldn't do it. Listen, I've always been bold. Like I literally like would take hell with a squirt gun for the devil. But the moment I started doing something for God, shaking like a leaf, I just couldn't do it. And I remember my spiritual father came to me and he said, hey, there's a power from heaven that you're lacking in your life. There's a power from heaven you're lacking. And I began to seek the Lord, so did my wife. And I remember my wife got touched by the power of God in a way that transformed her life. And I got so jealous. I don't play that way. I'm like, you got something? I get it too. I stopped eating, started fasting, praying to God. God, you want me to leave my house? How am I supposed to do this? My wife's got this thing going on. You don't have this thing. She's prophesying, speaking in other languages, came home all on fire for God. And I remember I started to fast. And I went to this event and the power of God touched my life. And something began to shift in me. But God showed me something, because so many Christians relegate the power of God's Spirit just to be able to do the work of God. But can I tell you, something more changed. Yeah, I did get up to preach. And can I tell you, it was totally different. There was no more shaky Jordan. There was a fire inside of me that transformed every part of who I was and what I did. I'd preach in a grocery store. I'd get up in a park and start telling people about Jesus. Something began to change, but I realized it was deeper than that. The same way the baptism into the body of Christ changed my life, so did the baptism of fire. Something changed in Jordan. Something changed. And can I tell you, God doesn't just baptize you in fire so that you can be good at preaching, or so you can be bolder. Some of you are more bold about politics than you are about Jesus. You'll get up and preach politics. You'll preach Fox News or Newsmax, but somebody asks you about Jesus, you're like, oh, yeah, I know him. I know him. If I looked at some of your Facebook, you'd think you are a Newsmax prophet, not a Bible prophet. But see, one of those is carnal, the other's not. You got opinions, but do you have power? See, what I realized is when you get baptized in fire, you change. Something gets transformed in you. See, the early church model, Peter was not the same cat. The same guy, by the way, that denied Jesus 3 times. The same guy that some little girl popped up and punked Peter and made him cuss in front of everybody. The same, you know that guy? You guys know the story? Peter's like, oh yeah, I know Jesus. Yeah, I don't know that guy. I don't know that guy. This little girl, Jesus was a wuss. Peter was a wuss denying Jesus. And all of a sudden, Peter's this wuss. Well, guess what? He gets in the upper room. The baptism of fire hits Peter's life and everything begins to change. Everything begins to change. The same Peter that was punked by a little girl and denying Jesus, that same Peter is standing in front of 15, 20,000 people, leading 3,000 people to faith in Jesus Christ, seeing thousands of people get baptized. The same Peter that would go on to pioneer and become an apostle in the early church. The same Peter that would get crucified and go, nah, bro, flip me upside down. I'm not worthy to do it like Jesus did it. That same guy who couldn't stand before a little girl stood before the multitudes. Why? Because he was not the same man that he was before. There was a transforming that happened in his life. Can I tell you, God wants to transform your life. He wants to turn you into a new person. He wants to flip the script in you. He wants to bring transformation. I want you to stand to your feet all across the room. Listen, The power of God comes not just to give you power, but to change your life. And listen, some of you are here today, and what you need is not a touch from God. What you need is not even just a word from God. What you need is God to change your life. You need the power of God to be released over your life. You need God to bring a transforming baptism of power. And listen, I don't know where all of you are today, but I know this. I know God doesn't want to leave you the same. I know if God under the old covenant can transform Saul into a new person. Saul went from some wussy little king that hid in the back somewhere that didn't want to even be called out. The Bible says even King Saul, who would later be wicked, by the way, the Spirit of God came on Saul, and the Bible says made him into a brand new person. He was a different person. He wasn't the same guy. There was a transforming power that happened. I remember I wasn't the same guy. When the power of God touched me, I was a different person. There's transforming power that's available to each and every one of you. And I want to pray for us today. I want to pray for us not to fall short, but I want to pray for us to enter in to the power of God for our life. Because the heart of God is not that any one of us would fall short. No, the heart of God is that all of us would experience everything that God has for us. Listen, if you're not where you need to be with God, this is a good night for you to get right with God. If you're here and you're close, but you're not in, can I tell you, don't settle. Don't settle for outside the camp when God's called you into his own body. When God's given you the spirit of adoption to bring you in, bring you near. I want to pray that God would bring you in. I want to pray that the power of God would rest upon your life. That the power of heaven would be released into your life. I want you to lift your hands to heaven all over the room tonight. Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus is not walking around in this room right now. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and all of heaven accepts his authority. And the Holy Ghost has been released to each and every one of us. And the only thing that can keep you from receiving him is you. Tonight, there's another dimension. Another dimension of faith, another dimension of the baptism. It's released over you. You change, your life changes, your heart changes, your mind changes today, today, today. Lift your hands to heaven. Father, all across the room, we thank you that the gift of your Spirit is for all of us. It's for everyone. So God, we stretch our faith tonight. And we thank you, Lord, that we are brought near, that we are brought in. And I pray tonight that a baptism of fire would be released. Shororobositi. A baptism of fire would be released over your people. God, I lift up those who were touched by your fire many years ago. And I thank you that there's a fresh baptism, God, you want to release over their lives. Come on, just begin to intercede. Come on, begin to ask. Begin to believe there's a gift for you, that there's a fresh flame for you, that there's a baptism for you. For your children, for your children's children. Oh God, I thank you for a revival of the baptisms. God, I thank you for those who've not been baptized in water. I thank you that tonight they make a decision. They're going to sign up and be baptized the very next one. That Kings Alaska will see more baptism in this next 2 years than they've ever seen before. God, thank you that you're leading them. Thank you for the power of heaven that's been released. And I pray even tonight, like Cornelius's household, who received the baptism of fire even before they were baptized in water. God, sometimes you do it backwards. I pray, God, you would touch your people. No matter where they are, touch your people.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. God's face shine upon you.